In these next few weeks, we are in this 28-day lesson Bible study on Christian growth for new believers, first things first, and I am giving messages that parallel this book, although I'm not going to try at all to review its contents in a sermon form. I want to give several messages to the title and the topic, The Things That Are New. The Things That Are New. When you become a Christian, God makes everything new. In Christ, we have a new covenant. We have a new commandment. We have a new name, a new song. We have a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, a new family, a new task, and even a new language, and not necessarily now speaking in other tongues, but a new language of words such as justification, sanctification, glorification, propitiation, expiation, all those wonderful theological words, a new vocabulary to describe what has happened to us. Jesus says, or rather the Father says from His eternal throne in Revelation 21:5, "Behold, I am making all things new." And that's not something simply related for the future. That is already occurring now. He is making everything new. And today I want to look with you at two things that are new in our life because of the Lord's presence. When you make Jesus the Savior and Lord of your life, the first thing that He makes new is your nature. You're given a new nature. We know that living things must exist within the limits of their nature. A dog nature is to live on land, and therefore a dog doesn't live in the water, and whales don't live on land, and owls don't, or eagles don't crawl around along the ground, and moles don't soar into the heavens. What they do, the terms of their existence are fixed by their nature. Sometimes philosophers call this the ontological connection. That is, something is something because that's the way it is. That's its ontological being. Why, for example, in a baseball game, are there just four bases? Home plate, first base, second base, third base, home plate, fourth base. Why aren't there five bases? Maybe the Dodgers need one, or maybe they need first base or something, but they're just four bases. Why is it that way? Because that's the way it is. Because that's the way it is. Because that's the way it is. It's the way it is. And things are the way they are because that's the way they are. The environment and lifespan of all things living is determined according to its nature. And it's the same way with us, with human beings. Few of us are ever going to reach 100 years of age. And none of us, barring a development of modern medicine, none of us are going to live to be 150. The second law of thermodynamics tells us that our biological frame is winding down. The hymn writer said it more poetically, "Change and decay in all around I see." No one that I know of is getting stronger and healthier and younger as they get older, as they are pulled along into life's later years. We are all, by virtue of our nature, going back to the dust. Not a very comforting thought, is it? Going back to the dust. Reminds me of the little boy that was afraid to go to bed. And when his mother asked him, "Why are you afraid to go to bed?" He said, "Well, there's somebody underneath my bed." So she went to check. She didn't find anything underneath his bed. And she came back and said, "There's nobody under your bed." He said, "Not true, Mommy. You told me that when we die, we go back to dust, and there's dust underneath my bed." Every living thing can expect to go back to the dust. Death comes to animals and men and plants. Our little dog, if he has a normal lifespan and living in our household, there's no guarantee of that. If he has a normal lifespan, will live between 12 to 15 years. And his life speed is 7 times the rate of mine. He does not possess the opportunity to have the human nature, nor does he possess the opportunity to have the human lifespan. He has a different quantity and quality of life. A dog he is, and a dog he will always be. Of all the living things, we, men, women, are the only ones who can attain to the nature and existence of a life form that is higher than our own. Quality and quantity different from our own. How is this? Well, we were born, we know this, the sons and daughters of men, but through Christ, we have the opportunity to become the sons and daughters of God, a different nature. But to all who received Him, John says, John chapter 1, but to all who received Him, who believed on His name, to them He gave power to become the children of God, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of men, but of God. Peter says, 2 Peter 1:4, that we through Him participate in the divine nature. And John 3:5, Jesus says, we enter this nature by being born again, born into a different form of existence. When we repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He enters our life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come into him. It is Christ in you, Paul says in Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you are in Christ and He is in you, you're a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. I think maybe God created the butterfly to help us understand the tremendous change that is taking place in our nature because of Christ. The old butterfly, the old nature of a butterfly is caterpillar. It's hard to believe that a gorgeous and delicate butterfly with its outspread wings emerges from such an ugly-looking little creature that creepies along. Who would guess, looking at that old, ugly, brown caterpillar that you don't even feel comfortable picking up, that within that caterpillar is something as beautiful as a butterfly? That old caterpillar crawling along on his twig on any given day can have two ways of looking at himself. He can say, I'm dying. I'm old. I'm ugly. Or he can say, although my outer nature is dying, within me a beautiful thing is taking place. From one point of view, the caterpillar is on his way to death. But from another point of view, it's on its way to life, and far more extravagant and beautiful life. It's no different with a Christian. Something radical has happened to our nature when we invited Jesus Christ into our life. We received a new nature, and the hymn writer has said it well, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Paul tells us that the old caterpillar nature is gone. If Christ is in you, your body, the caterpillar, is dead because of sin. That is, a caterpillar going along can already think of itself as in the past tense. It's already over. We know the old nature is gone because the new nature is incipient within the old. And therefore, we simply make the statement, as does Paul, if Christ is in you, the old body is dead because of sin. But it seems so much alive. It's crawling along. It walks, it talks, it feels, it moves. It's alive. No, it's not. It is dead because of sin, yet your spirit, the butterfly, is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, that is, cause the butterfly to emerge from the chrysalis through His spirit who lives in you. Like the caterpillar butterfly, we are going through metamorphosis. It's a beautiful Greek word, metamorphosis. Morphosis comes from the word morphe, which means form, structure. Meta means to change. Change structure is metamorphosis. It's used of the transfiguration of Jesus in the Gospels. He changed structure. His human nature gave way to His divine nature in that moment of time. And we are metamorphosizing. We are changing form and structure as we walk with Christ. John says it in 1 John 3:3. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I am biologically the son of George Roy and Elizabeth Wood. I bear their likeness. Those of you that know any of the Weidman clan know that the redheads that are in the Weidman clan, my mother's side of the family. The genetics stream through millenniums of descent that preceded them has somehow, through them, wrought its unique combination in me. What defective ancestors I had. Why this horrible combination? But I am the son of George Roy and Elizabeth Ann Wood. But I am also the son of God, a son of God. because of Christ. And as my human likeness, unless the Lord comes, gradually lumbers on its way to the tomb, I am on the inside being transformed by virtue of the divine nature, the nature of Christ. I am being transformed into Christ's nature with ever-increasing glory. That's the testimony of the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 3:18 describes any person who is following Christ. The nature is going through change. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:49 that just as we have borne the image of the likeness of earthly men, so I shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Just as in some ways I look like my parents on the earthly frame, just as I have borne that likeness, that genetic pool that somehow found its combination in me, just as I have borne that, so shall I bear the likeness of the man from heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says, though our old nature is wasting away inwardly, the butterfly, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Those of you who have been with people who are terminally ill, and they are Christians, know that as you face that moment with them, two things are happening. You are consumed with sorrow and with grief because the outer nature is wasted away. It is dying. But you are filled with hope because you realize that unseen to the naked eye, there is another dynamic process at work. A process that is birthing a whole new existence. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Christ has not only changed the quantity of our life, He has changed the quality of our life, and one day we'll have totally the new nature evident, and even now, as the butterfly is incipiently within the caterpillar, so we are on the inside now, within the old nature, taking on the form and the likeness of Christ. So Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, put off the likeness of the old man and put on the new likeness. Put on Christ. Think like Christ. Have a heart like Christ. Have compassion like Christ. Feel like Christ. Act like Christ. Be your new nature. We are waiting to break free, but while waiting to break free, we are being developed after the likeness of Christ, the new nature. It's a gift from God to us. Every one of you that have received Christ have a new nature, and it's not yet appeared what you shall be. Isn't that great when you look in a mirror? I mean, friends, there's hope. There's hope because of Christ. It has not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. A second thing that is new to us when we become a Christian is that our name becomes a new entry in the Bible of life. I use that word Bible of life rather deliberately to sort of pique your attention. But the Greek word for book is the word Biblos. It's the word from which we derive Bible. And it is used, this word Biblos is used of the Bible of life. The roster that God has in heaven for all of those who have believed in Him. That word is used 8 times in the New Testament, and when the New Testament repeats something, you know it's important. I recall once giving a devotional years ago to the women's dorm. The guys' dorm and the women's dorm were having joint devotions one evening, and I had been asked to give a devotional, and I thought I would take the great text, thought it was appropriate for the occasion. Greet the brethren with a holy kiss. And so I, jokingly, of course, waxed eloquent. I said, you know, when the Bible says, they didn't know what I was going to speak on. I said, when the Bible says something once, it's important, isn't it? Everybody agreed. When it says it twice, it's really important. Everybody, when it says it 3 times, it's really, really crucial. You ought to underline, yeah, yeah. When it says it 5, you know, it's an unalterable law. Yes. You know, greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Well, they laughed more than you did, but 8 times in the Scripture, the book of life, the Bible of life. When you have repented of your sins and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, your name is written in this book. Jesus tells the 70 when they are coming back from a training mission where even the evil spirits have been subject to their power, derivative power from Him. He says, rejoice not over that, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Paul says to fellow believers that he and they have their names written in the book of life, Philippians 4:3. The writer of Hebrews assures early Jewish Christians that they have come to the church of the firstborn. That's a unique phrase, isn't it? We think of the fact that we're twice born, natural born and spiritual born. But Hebrews says we've come to the church of the firstborn. And in biblical times, firstborn was a place of honor, prestige, and position and inheritance. And the writer of Hebrews says that's what the church is. It's the sons and daughters of God who have prestige, position, and inheritance. You've come to the church of the firstborn and to those whose names are written in heaven. John, in writing Revelation, John 20, 11 to 15, describes the end of time when all humanity appears before the great white throne judgment of God. And John says the books were open, and those whose names were not written in the book of life were judged by that which was written in the book of works, and it was found deficient, and those whose names were not written in the book of life were cast into eternal fire. What's being said here? It is critical that your name be in the book of life. That's God's gift to you. If you believe in His Son, your name is inscribed in the book of life. You're entered on the roster. And I'm a person who is fascinated with rosters of names. I love whole chapters in the Scripture where there's nothing but names. Because I, you know, you have to do something relatively significant to get in a list like that. That'd be a neat place to have your name. I always sort of snap at attention. It's like the Vietnam War Memorial. I'll tell you, if you've lost a relative in the war, you go to that Vietnam War Memorial and that those names are important to you. So names are critical. And what John is saying, what he's giving us an understanding of, is that God says to you that He's got a file on your life. The Bible calls it a book, but it might just as easily be a living videotape of every moment you've ever lived. Document your personal history. There's been a file running on you in the heavens. No 18-minute gaps in it. And if you choose not to have your name written in the book of life, when you come before judgment and your name's not there, then we go to the book of works. Soul that sins, it shall die. Sin offends a holy God. You say, but I want to be judged on the basis of what I've done, and if I've lived a relatively decent life, I'll take my chances with God. Then God brings out the book of works, and it will be found in the tape of your life. There will be enough evidence found to eternally indict and convict you. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's critical that your name be in the book of life. I'm on many lists, and I think you are too. I could have brought the phone book with me. I'm on that list. I'm in the records of the county of Merced, California, for having been born. I'm in the records of a county in Alabama for having been married in that county. I'm on the record of ordained ministers of my denomination, the Assemblies of God. I'm on the list of registered voters. I'm on the list of roster of members of this church. You can find my name in the county recorder's office as an owner of a home located on a particular parcel in Costa Mesa. I'm on all those lists. There's only one list I'm on I didn't choose to be on, and that is the Merced County birth list. I didn't have any choice. Not every other list I'm on, I chose to be there or I chose not to be there. Same way with you. And it's that way with the Lamb's Book of Life. It is the Lamb's Book. It's His book. But we choose whether or not we are going to be there. It would not surprise me when I get to heaven to discover that that list is not a list written on paper with ink. Knowing the creativity of God, I could easily see the Bible of Life as a book that contains glistening featherweight slabs of pure diamond. How about that? Not just a little old carrot, but a glistening featherweight thin slab of pure diamond with names engraved on the featherweight slabs, signaling their sparkling beauty and glory. Even as in the Old Testament, the names of the tribes of Israel were inscribed on precious jewels worn on the high priest's breast and on his shoulders, signifying that God's people were dear to Him and supported by Him, so it is that God may have a special way of engraving our names in a luxurious and elegant setting. Yes, my name's written there, the hymn writer says, on the page white and fair in the book of Thy kingdom. Yes, my name's written there. I was thinking just last evening about being the parent of teenagers now. And, you know, when your kids are younger, you're in your home before they are. And now it's the reverse. And I have these thoughts come to me. And all parents, I think, go through this. Are my kids safe? Will I get home safe tonight? And I say to myself, what if they don't? And I start thinking of the pastor's son's funeral that I was just at last week, 6.5-year-old boy, a week and a half ago, Don Gregg up in Alhambra. I think that could be one of my children just as easily. I started thinking, what if I... You get these dark thoughts. It's Saturday night, you know. starting that. What if I get a phone call or somebody say, when your children was involved in an accident and they won't be coming home anymore? And I thought to myself, what if I got that phone call tonight? The church is tomorrow. What would I say tomorrow? All these what ifs. I thought to myself, and the Spirit said, you know what? If that had happened, this is exactly what you ought to say. The most important thing about your children is that they have a new nature and they have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's the most important thing that can ever be said about you. Most of the time my preaching is practical oriented, how to fight depression, how to deal with anger, how to grow self-esteem, how to get forgiveness, all those kinds of things. But friends, those things are worthless if you don't have a new nature and if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's such a thing in business called the bottom line. That's where it all is. And you either have a new nature or you don't. Your name is either written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it isn't. And if it isn't, it ought to be, because Jesus makes it possible. And if you don't have a new nature, you can't have a new nature. But the most important thing, and I, friends, as a minister, I am regularly in the presence of death. And I know that the most important thing you can ever do is have Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and have your nature changed, because we are on this crazy spinning globe that is out in the middle of nowhere. It's untrackable to man. It's trackable to God. And it's spinning around, and someday it's going down like we're going down. We're on a spaceship that is going. But we have a God who is pulling us out. And He gives us His nature and gives us a visualization of how precious we are to Him by letting our name be written in a book in heaven. My name is more surely in heaven than it's in the county recorder's office with all the affidavits that have gone with that. And I didn't get my name there by just signing a document. I had to have a notary say I was who I was, who I said I was to be. Heaven knows who I am better than the county does. Is your name written there? Our Father, we thank You today for the gift of life that is in Christ. We use words so easily and lightly. Life, life. But it's real life, Lord, in You. It never ends. It's like discovering a source of water that never, never quits. Life, glorious life. And You've made that possible to us, a new nature, a new name. Lord, for our friends in here that have not had the experience of coming to You, may this be a day of opening their own hearts to You. And Lord, for others who do have the new nature, sometimes as we make progress through life, our eyes, because we're like a caterpillar crawling along a leaf, a twig, we feel at times worthless. We feel at times like we fail. We wonder, where is the life of Christ in me? I don't fly like a butterfly. I still am at times captive. Oh God, what is happening to me? You, Lord, through the new birth, have dropped an infallible seed of the new nature into our life. It is within, and it's growing. And no matter what our outer nature may be suggesting, we have the new nature of Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Help us, Lord, not to listen to the enemy when he comes along and tries to talk us out of the reality that is in You. Keep us, Lord, from judging other people by the external appearances of the human nature which is passing. But as fellow believers, help us to esteem one another with a new nature that is developing inside. Thank You, Lord, that You are making all things new, including us. In Jesus' name, amen.